Hey, Anthony, why don't you give her one of yours? Give her one of your Mercedes. Give her your Mercedes. Be nice to your wife. Give her your Mercedes. Be nice to your wife, Day. Give her your Mercedes. I always say that. Be nice to your wife and give her your Mercedes. Give her a 76 Ford Mustang. Wendell, be nice to your wife. Give her a 76 Ford Mustang, Xavier says. 76. Not a 77, a 76. Why is the Greek mad? I don't know. I'm asking. What's he mad about? He's got three restaurants. Well, actually, he's probably mad that he got shot. William went over to get some. And grape juice, I guess, if we have it over there. We don't have any here. That's probably a good idea. You could just shut me off back there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to me. Thank you, Wendell. I'm touched. I'm going to cry. All right, Anthony, we're just going to get started. Shalom, folks. I'm Rabbi Joe. I want to welcome you to For Zion's Sake Ministries. And sorry we're getting underway a little real late, but we apologize. We had a late service last night, and we had a good time, but we're just running a little behind today. So forgive us, and we're going to get started. And Miss Dawn's not quite here yet. She's feeding the boys. So we're going to start with the blessing of the Messiah. I'll start us, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this Shabbat. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here and everyone who's watching. We thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for that you give revelation to us, Lord. And we just ask your blessing. Come, ask for your, be with us, Lord. Bring your presence. Fill your house with the presence, with the Shekhinah of Adonai, Lord. Bring your, fill this house with your glory. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, and bind the enemy, Lord. Bring the people out that you want to be here this morning. Wake them up, shake them up, get them out of bed. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, we're going to begin with the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. King of the universe, in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. I don't know if your mic's on, Anthony. Anthony's mic's not working. Okay, I'm going to do Ma Tovu. Ma Tovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Israel,
praise.
How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. Vani berov chasdecha, avo beitecha, eshtachave el hecho, kadshecha v'yiratecha. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, O Lord, the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Hallelujah. Do Shabbat Shalom. All right, we got rabbits in here.
Praise the Lord.
Captain Rabbitson. And Roger. No mic for the Revitson. I'll sing. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hey, and hallelujah. This day for Israel.
This day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of Israel. For Israel, filled with light and joy, a Sabbath of his rest, a Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Baruch. We've already done Matovu, so we'll do Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Israel et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Israel et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. B'nei 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 Israel, b'nei Israel, oti le'olam. V'shamru b'nei Israel et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, et shemayim ve'aretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another,
all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem,
Shalom Aleichem.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Psalm 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. And so, Father, we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the prosperity of your people, Lord. Psalm 118, Lord, we pray for the prosperity of your people. We pray, Lord, for the salvation, that shalom means peace with God, with the Messiah, the peace of the Messiah in our hearts is with the true meaning of shalom. And so we pray that one by one that you would come and reveal yourself to your people Israel, Lord, to the Jewish people and in Israel and those among the nations, Lord, that you would reveal yourself and open our hearts and save your people, Lord. Save your ancient people. Save them, Lord. Bring us home. Bring us back, Lord. Bring us back. We pray for Aliyah, that you would part the seas and bring us back in your time, Lord, and when you're ready to take us back home to the land, we pray, Lord. Part the seas, Lord, for Messianic Jews, Lord, and for Messianic believers, and for Christians who love Israel, and we just pray that you would part the seas, Lord, and make a way for us to come home and get citizenship in the land, Lord. Change the winds in Israel. Make us welcome there. We ask in Yeshua's name. Now bless the conference in Florida, Lord. Bless them as they have their conference and service today, and the teachers and the rabbis. Bless all the rabbis today as they have their services, Lord. Heal their sickness. Meet their needs, Lord, financially. Meet their congregational needs. Lord, bless their word, anoint their words today, Lord, and help them to be bold as lions and not be fearful of man and say what needs to be said. Give them courage, Lord, not to be afraid of people, Lord, and losing a tither or something like that, Lord. I pray for our executive leadership too, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna. In Isaiah 22:22, and that you would bring in a full spirit of Eliakim, of humility, righteousness, and fatherhood to lead us, Lord, that the spirit of our leadership over the rabbis would be a spirit of meekness and love and fatherhood and humility, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for our service today and for those who are not here, Aja fell and hurt herself. We just pray you heal her. Help Aja get her life together, Lord. Help her just to get things straightened out and her situation, Lord. It's getting where it seems like she can't, hard for her to live alone. So we just pray for her, Lord. You know her needs. Pray for her situation, Lord. Pray for Sharon's back, that she gets treatment for her back. And we thank you that Maria's here. We just pray for healing in her back today, Lord. She would touch Maria's back, Lord. She's too young to be having these problems, Lord. And in Yeshua's name, Lord, touch her back from her head to her toes, Lord, from the back top of her spine to the bottom, Lord. We pray in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord, and help Wendell. Just help him. In Yeshua's name, amen. Anthony, servant of the Lord.
Now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
All right. Hallelujah. God of our fathers from last night.
I don't see it. Where is it?
It's in the stack from last night. You want me to help you?
I don't find it. Just give me a sec.
God of our fathers, ruler of the heavens, King o'er all the earth, the Almighty God. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you are there, O Lord. In the day of our distress, we will look to thee. For thou art the Almighty God, we put our hope in thee. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you of our fathers, ruler of the heavens, King o'er all the earth, the Almighty God. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should he come against us, you are there, you are there, you are there, oh Lord.
Amen.
Shema
Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinata ham levanecha v'dibarta baham b'shivtecha b'vetecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech uveshach b'cha uvekumecha ukesharta'am al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Somebody help Aja in, maybe Josh or Diane. Thank you. Okay, Micha Mocha. Thank you.
Micha Mocha Be'elim Adonai Micha Mocha Nedar B'Kodesh Nor Atehilot
Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Le'olam Va'ed, Adonai Oz Le'mo Yitain, Adonai Barech Et Amo Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm being instructed by my wife. All right. I'm going to ask Wendell and William to come and are you okay to William to carry? All right. And Maria, could you just close this curtain right here? It makes the screen light. Thank you, dear.
Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tov, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tov, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim,
shevet achim gam yachad. Hinei matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hinei matov, hinei matov.
Hey!
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la.
Umanayim shevet ahim gam yachad. Hinei matov umanayim shevet ahim gam yachad. Hinei matov, hinei matov.
Lai la 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 la.
Hinei matov, hinei matov.
La 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 la.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity.
La 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 la.
In unity, to dwell in unity.
La 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 la.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la.
Hallelujah. Makes me want to say the Shema again. Vayehi ben Soharon, vayomer Moshe, kum Adonai, v'yafutsu oyvecha, v'yanusu misanecha, mikanecha, ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, udevar Adonai, Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen.
Hallelujah. You've heard of Yemenite dance. This is a Yemen mountain dance. Yem the mountain dance. The mountains of Tennessee, Yeshua dance. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Ya'amud.
And you know what Yemenite wine is?
What is it?
Yemeniti. That was bad.
Yeah.
Okay. What are we doing next, Miss Don?
Alamod.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch et Adonai Hamvorach.
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lelam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Rach Lelam Va'ed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Harbim Ve'Natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Why are y'all repeating yourself? You just said that.
Because it's on the page.
You can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is by Yeshev,
And this is from Genesis 37 through chapter 40. And the half Torah is Amos chapter 2 through chapter 3. Last week we talked about Jacob returning to the promised land. And before he gets there, it's like an exile what he's in. The sun sets when he leaves. The sun rises when he returns. He engages Ish on a place that God has placed him. And he gets a new name, which is the name of Yisrael, which happens to contain all the patriarchs and matriarchs' names are woven within the name of Israel. And the name of Israel means, in Hebrew, it means straight to God. That's what God is telling us. It's straight to him. So he gets a whole new name, even though throughout the scriptures you'll see that he's referred to at various times by both names, Jacob and Israel. But he returns with his family. If you read the scriptures, you know Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin, and she was buried near the area of Bethlehem. So he returns with his 12 sons, who become the 12 tribes, and his daughter, Dinah, depending on how you want to say it. So he's back in the land, and Joseph, it sort of jumps over to Joseph, and Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel that she bore, and so he's the favorite son because of the relationship between Jacob and Rachel. He was very much in love with her the first time he saw her. If I'm not mistaken, I think that may be the first kiss in the scriptures is when he saw her, he immediately kissed her, and he loved her, and he wanted her to be his wife. And so he had to work a lot of years to get her hand in marriage. He ended up marrying her sister, and he had to work an additional many years to get her hand. So she was quite a catch that he wanted. He didn't mind how many years he worked to get her. But when he left the land that he was in and his uncle, he left with a lot of wealth. So, you know, but it's interesting when we talk about the genealogy of Jacob here, it begins with Joseph. And Joseph was not the first son that was born, but he was the most favorite son because God's anointing, I believe, was upon Joseph from his birth up until now. He was about 17 years old, so he was the beloved child. You know, as you look at this, Jacob made him a tunic of many colors. Now, Jacob was a sort of a sheep herder, but he was the kind of guy that did a lot of studying and praying. And so Jacob made this tunic of many colors. And this tunic was more than just a coat, let's say. It meant he had a social status in the family that meant that he was special. I think it meant also that he was destined for something great in the kingdom of God. And you know, I think that the tunic also represents that he was the heir to, he was a shadow of Yeshua, because later on we see once they're exiled, he's put into Egypt, then actually the land of Israel is saved through Joseph being in the land of Egypt. So, but Joseph begins to oversee his brothers, and he begins to tell his father about the things they're doing and not doing, and they become a little jealous, and they actually, their jealousy leads into hatred for him. They didn't like Joseph very much because he would tell them about the dreams, and he would say, you know, you bow down to me and all that, and they didn't like that idea because they thought they were special too. But you know, God has a way of taking... Yep, God has a way of taking things. You know, like Joseph's brothers, their actions demonstrate what we know is not everything. You know, God oversaw what was going on with the brothers, and God orchestrated that and turned it into a great blessing, because we see a couple parshas down the road where Joseph and his brothers reunite, and Joseph returns evil with kindness. He's very kind to his brothers and accepts them back into his family, so to speak. So they all become a family again. But they, right now, when he goes, they go to sketch him, and they're over near Dothan, and he's sent over there. What's interesting, when Jacob called Joseph, he replied, "Hinehi," which means I am ready to go, and it also means I'm ready to be sacrificed. And if you read that scripture, you'll see Jacob was very caught off by the fact that Joseph responded by saying "Hinehi," which means I am ready to serve what God wants, and if it's sacrifice, then I am ready to be sacrificed. So he goes, his brothers on the way see him coming, so they conspire to have him put to death. And instead, they throw him down in a pit. And hopefully you read this. A band of Mennonites came along. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And so Joseph is off to Egypt to work there as a slave. So, you know, it's sort of interesting because Jacob deceived Isaac and Esau. And now we see that with Joseph, his sons are deceiving him because they take the tunic back and they put blood on animal blood upon it. And they tell Jacob that Joseph has been killed and he has died. And it's very trying for Jacob because he knows that the culmination of the inheritance and the growth of Israel was depending upon the 12 sons. And if one is dead, then he doesn't have 12 sons anymore. And he's getting along in age, so he doesn't. So it's a very damaging thing for him to see that he's lost one of the sons, that's one of the tribes. And I hope you read this parasha today, because right in the middle of it, it jumps over to Judah and it starts talking about Judah and his three sons and the fact that two of them die, that they're married to Tamar, and they have no children, and she wants the third son. He won't permit it, and so she disguises herself, and she becomes pregnant by Judah because he wouldn't give her the third son. And Tamar, in this trial, in this dealing with her father-in-law, she has twins. And what I'm leading up to here is the lineage actually of Yeshua, because you know it sees that it actually starts getting formed right here, as you see Tamar has a set of twins from her father-in-law, and those twins are Zerah and Perez, and we see a lineage here that leads up to Yeshua. We see where there are five women here that are Gentiles that are involved in the actual lineage that leads up to Yeshua. So you see with Tamar, she was a Midianite, and her children were from Judah, and as I said, they were Zerah and Perez. And then we see Rahab was another Gentile lady, and she was the lady that had the red string that saved her family, and also prepared the land of Israel around Jericho where they could go in and take the city. And she was the wife of Solomon, who bore the son Boaz, which is, you can read the book of Ruth and you'll find out a lot about Boaz, another shadow. He's a kinsman redeemer, another shadow of Yeshua. And then we see Ruth, who comes from that book that's about her. She was a Moabite. We talked about her last night. She marries Boaz, who was the kinsman's redeemer. He redeemed her. And so she was the grandfather. They had the son Obed, and that ended up being the grandfather of King David. And then King David married Uriah, who again, and she married, and they got married, and they had the son of Solomon, which falls right into the lineage of Yeshua. So, but what is all this about having all of these Gentile ladies? And these ladies wasn't really, you know, one has children by her father-in-law, and, you know, there are Moabites, some of them are Moabites, there are Mennonites, there are people that Israel did not really associate with, but they're all in the lineage of Yeshua, which is very interesting. It's sort of like the type of life that he lived. He dealt with sinners on a daily basis, where if he was a Pharisee or a Sadducee, he would have not even wanted to be in the presence of them. He would definitely have not taken a meal with them. He would have definitely not went into their homes and visited them. But we see this sort of sets the stage, the kind of life that Yeshua led. But what is about these women, just to close this parasha this morning, what is about them that God has singled them out in the scriptures? You see, they were born, I think these ladies all had great faith. They saw something out in front of them that increased their faith. They were not, none of them were socially accepted at that time. They were not kings and queens. They were not the people that had the big parties and it was in the newspapers and all that. They were not socially accepted. They were considered second-class people. They were very resilient. They did not give up. The first time they were met with defeat, they kept plodding along. They did not look backward, but they looked forward. And I think another reason was they were very loyal to their husbands when they got married, and they were also very faithful. So that gives us an idea of these ladies who were not very socially acceptable, but God definitely used them in the lineage of Yeshua to bring about the Messiah. Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher, Samoshe, Lifnei, B'nai, Israel, all B'Yodonai, B'Yamoshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Etz Chaim hi lamazikim ba v'tomcheha ne'ushar derachea be'noam v'chol nativotecha shalom hashiveinu Adonai Shuva Hadesh Hadesh Yameinu Hadesh Yameinu Kekedem.
Wisdom is the tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord,
and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of announcements. And we'll continue with our worship and the message from the rabbi. Amen. How many of you were here last night for the wonderful celebration Hanukkah? It was awesome. Amen. Amen. So I think we've still got some leftovers, right? So please join us for lunch afterwards, and we'll continue to have some of those great latkes that you guys brought and whatever else is down there. Soup, we got soup, okay, and salad, good, all kinds of good things. So if you want to get Rabbi's message, just remember that you can go back into the archives on live stream or even on Facebook. You can go back and find the messages. So if you miss something and you'd like to hear it again, you know, go back and get those. You know, all you've got to do is click on the little window, the live stream window online, and you've got to scroll down and you'll see all the services, the previous services. So on Facebook, it's just the message. On live stream, we actually record the whole service, the worship and everything. So and along those lines, I want to welcome everyone from online. Welcome to Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation and for Zion's Sake Ministries. Glad to have you with us. And there are quite a few people who are watching, you know, the online on a regular basis. We had a couple that came last night, a few ladies from up in West Virginia, the Contis, Sherry Contis. So that was really great to meet them. They came on out and to celebrate with us. So we just appreciate those of you who check in, and we hope that you'll come and visit from time to time. Ty and Tell from Morristown, that's right, we're here. And they have they been watching online too, or I forget how they Bill New. Okay, great. And so we've got, I know you've been with us before, but remind us your name. Matthew, it's great to have you with us. Where do you live? Bristol, right here in Bristol. So it's great to have you again with us. If you come one more time, you'll just be family. And yeah, Rabbi, I'll let you carry the Torah, and then that's it. You're in. Continue to support, you know, our online ministry, and go on to Facebook and interact with all those people that are there, because, you know, sometimes we forget, you know, that it's not just us here. Amen. So get on the Facebook. There's people making comments all the time. So interact with those visitors. Please, this is your ministry, not just rabbis, right? So let's be a community. There's also the Ar Yehuda page, and from time to time we post from there, but most of everything is going out from the For Zion's Sake page. So the other thing I wanted to bring your attention to, some of you may be celebrating Hanukkah, starts tomorrow night for 9 days, so many of you will be celebrating it in your homes and around the dinner table with homemade latkes and so forth. So that's fine. We had a nice start to that last night with our worship and teaching on Hanukkah. But we've got one more event coming up, and that's Sunday, December 29th. There's flyers out on the table. There's flyers posted. I've sent it out on Constant Contact. It's on the website. This is Ralph and Mindy Sita. They are world-class messianic dance masters. And they have numerous videos, teaching videos. Their series is called Teach Your Feet. And it's just very simple. They are just down to earth, and just they have really been a part of the messianic community. They've been a real blessing as teachers and ministers, and we are blessed to have them come and host a seminar, a dance seminar. So all men, that includes Wendell, you can come. Just don't step on any toes. Children, as long as they are, 10 or 11, can follow instructions. We don't want, it's a little distracting for very little kids. But children are welcome as long as they can follow instructions. And it's actually, the children absolutely love this. And so bring your kids, and bring anybody from age 9, 10, all the way to 99, you're welcome, okay? Guys, gals. And you've seen us do the dance here. It's a circle dance. Messianic and Jewish dance is based on the circle. It's based on the Bible. It comes right out of the Bible. There are many verses that talk about dance, and it's I can't go into it right now. Someday I will. But the Hebrew alludes to the circle. And so that's why we use the circle. Why? Because it's congregational. Everybody dances. And nobody's like the prima donna. Nobody stands out. We all do it together, just like we sing together, right? So God has ordained dance for us to dance together. And it's a form of unity. It's a high form of praise to the Lord. And you'll find that when you dance, you really enter into another level of worshiping God as your body is offered up as a sacrifice. So these are just encourage you to come and learn and just be open to worshiping and having fun. Take those flyers and invite your friends, and let's make this an awesome thing. Diane will be hosting it, and Deborah will be there, so they'll be leading the evening. Okay, any questions? All right, Rabbi has ordered some things that we've of course got our calendars, which he's constantly telling you about. But last night we were also blessed to get a shipment of Abba oils. So I believe they are they in the fellowship hall or out here? Okay, and I'm not sure that they're all completely priced, so please just, if you don't see a price on there, let us know so we can try to find out what it is. It just came in the box last night. So we've got hand lotion, there's prayer anointing oils, and you know, we've got big, large bottles and small bottles. So they make nice, wonderful gifts to people as well. So just keep that in mind. I have, that's all I have, Rabbi. Anything? I'm going to hand it back to you, please. Don't fall asleep.
Is that my water up there?
It's not mine. I think it must be, well, no. Anthony, that's not your water, is it? Okay.
Up sticks. There we go. All right. Hallelujah. That was a good service last night, wasn't it?
Yes.
Amen. I ate too many donuts and potato pancakes afterward. Oh my goodness.
Oh, and the cookies.
Oh, and the cookies.
We've got to give Marilyn like the star for Hanukkah cookies. Those were I'll post them on Facebook so you can see if you weren't there.
Amen. Okay.
You're gonna
before. Yeah, I know what I'm gonna do, sweetheart. I mean, you've been guiding me, and now I'm on my way. I'm flying. Dawn, show them your stripes. She's an airline. she's an airline captain, and she hides it. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to speak yet. We're going to take our tithes and offerings, okay? So I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you. I pray, Lord, that you would teach all of us about tithing because I've been blessed immensely for being obedient to you and bringing my tithe. You've blessed me. Your word says in Malachi, "Test me in this," says the Lord. "See if I will not open the windows and bring and pour out a blessing too big to contain." And he says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse," he says, "so that there may be food in my house, in the house of the Lord." And he says, "That I may open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain, and that I may rebuke the devourer in your life, rebuke the devourer from devouring you." Amen. And it's, you know, we used to pray. We had some people going through hard times that we used to pray for them. God, rebuke the devourer, rebuke the devourer. And God, after several months of praying that prayer for those people who were struggling, God said, "Joe, it's not a prayer, it's a tithe." Sometimes it's an action that brings about God's response. If you tithe, he says he'll rebuke the devourer. If you tithe, he says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. He doesn't say pray for him to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He doesn't say, you know, worship 10 hours and fast 20, you know, fast for 2 weeks. He just says tithe. You know, I'll give you one more example of that. I used to, I've baptized more people in the Jordan River than I have in America, okay? And I used to get really nervous baptizing in Israel, in the Jordan River. I used to get very nervous. And I would fast, and I would pray, and I would think I'd have to be, you know, gosh, I'm like baptizing in the Jordan River. I've got to get super holy and sanctified, you know. So I would fast and pray and get all nervous, and I'd mess people's baptisms up. I mean, I don't know if they noticed it, but I was not enjoying the baptisms. I was stressed out and, you know, it was just not fun, you know. And then finally, one day, God said, "Joe, where does it say that you have to pray and fast? It says repent. Does it say repent, pray, fast, and be baptized? Or does it say repent and be baptized? Which one? Repent and be baptized, right?" So he just says, "Just baptize them. Have fun." And when he said that, I was like, "Really? That's awesome." So I started baptizing people and having fun doing it. And now it's like I love baptizing in the Jordan River. I just got to get back to Israel. But I'll baptize anybody. I baptized Josh in a pool in a Disneyland resort in Florida when he was a little kid. And he said, we were sitting on the side of the pool, and his brother got baptized in 2009. He saw his brother baptized in the Jordan River. And so that summer of 2010, Josh said, I want to be, he was sitting in the pool there, and he says, I want to be baptized. And so we baptized you in that pool. But anyway, God bless you. So let's bring our tithes and offerings. If you're watching online, you can give securely on PayPal. But if you do, please give us your name and address so we can receipt you. Because if you give on PayPal, without doing that, we'll just have your name and what you gave, and we can't receipt you. So we've got to know who you, where you are, as well as who you are. But may God bless you as you give, and may he multiply you 100-fold in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Come mi ore ki ba ore uchvod Adonai alai rach. Come mi ore ki ba ore uchvod Adonai alai rach. Come mi ore ki ba ore uchvod Adonai alai rach. Come mi ore ki ba ore uchvod Adonai like the rock. In a hoosh, yachas the eretz ha'arafel, le'yumim ve'ala, yichiz rachat anay, ukvodo ala yikeret. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon thee. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee. Darkness will cover all of the nations, and fog will fall on their lands. But on you will shine the Lord, and upon you his glory will be seen. Hey, come ori ki ba orech ukvod Adonai alayik sarach. Ori ki ba ore ukvod Adonai alayik sarach. Kumi ori ki ba ore ukvod Adonai alayik sarach. Kumi ori ki ba ore ukvod Adonai alayik sarach. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory the Lord will shine upon thee. Rise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon thee.
Shiviti Adonai lenegdi tamid. Shiviti Adonai lenegdi tamid. Shiviti Adonai lenegdi tamid. Shiviti Adonai lenegdi tamid. Mi 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 balemo lehem lehem lebi vayegel hodi by a gal for thee, by a gal for thee, by a gal for thee. Adonai, Lenigdi Tami. Shiviti Adonai, Lenigdi Tami. Mi mi balemot lechem samach libi. Vayagel kvodi, vayagel kvodi.
I've set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and all my songs are singing and rejoicing before you.
Shiviti Adonai Lenigdi Tami. Shiviti Adonai Lenigdi Tami. Mi 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 balemo lehem sama libi. Vayagel hodi, vayagel hodi. By a gal for thee, by a gal for thee.
Hallelujah.
The Lord our God will not abandon us, no, He will never His people forsake. The Lord our God will not abandon us, He will never His covenant break. The Lord our God will not abandon us, no, He will never His people forsake. The Lord our God will not abandon us, no, He will never His covenant break. The Lord will save us, our King will answer. The Lord will save us, our King will answer. The Lord our King will answer the day that we call Him.
Yeshua.
Kilo
Yitosh, Kilo Yitosh Hashem, Kilo Yitosh Hashem Adonai.
Kilo
Yitosh, Kilo Yitosh Hashem, Kilo Yitosh
Hayazov. Hashem Hoshia HaMelech Yaneinu, Hashem Hoshia HaMelech Yaneinu, HaMelech Yaneinu, Bo Yohom Karenu, Yeshua, Yeshua. Oh, the Lord will
save us, our King will answer. The Lord will save us, our King will answer. Lord, our King will answer the day that we call Him.
Yeshua,
call on Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Yeshua!
Yeshua!
Yeshua! Hallelujah! Yeshua, we call on you!
Sanctuary, I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. Oh God, you are my God.
earnestly I seek you. In a dry and weary land, my soul thirsts for you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you.
On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the night. Because, Lord, you are my help, I'll sing in the shadow of your wings. Sing to him.
I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you.
I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. Lord, my soul, it is satisfied as with the richest of foods. Because your love, it is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and glory. I will praise you as long as I live. I will always stay close to you.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just love you. Cause us to stay close to you, Lord. Let us reach out to you in our times of trouble.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we know sometimes you bring us times of trouble. You bring us into seasons of trouble so that we will draw close to you. Because we need you. We should never ever feel like there's no need for help.
Shalom Alecha, Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach Elyon. Mi melech, melech hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ruach HaShalom, Ruach HaShalom, Ruach Elyon. Mi melech, melech hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Peace be upon you, Ruach HaKodesh, Spirit of the Most High. Come now upon us from the Holy King of Kings, O Blessed One, come draw nigh. Let your peace be on us, Ruach HaKodesh, Spirit of the Most High. Come now upon us from the Holy King of Kings. O Blessed One, come draw nigh. Deep in my heart, Lord, there's a holy stirring, yearning to be one with you. Clothed in your Spirit,
blazing with your fire, clinging only to you. Seal your holy love upon my temple. Pour your name like perfume on my soul. Take my hand and lead me to your chambers. I'll hold you and I'll never let you go. Shalom Aleha Melech Kodesh Ruach Elyon Mihi Melech Melech Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mochal HaShalom Ruach HaShalom Ruach Elyon Melech HaMlachim HaKodesh Baruch Hu.
Let me sing the traditional one more verse. Let me sing the traditional.
Shalom Alecha Malachei HaSharein Malachei Elyon Mihi melech malechei ha-sharein Yadosh Baruch Hu Bocha le-shalom malechei ha-shalom Ruach Elyon Mihi melech malechei ha-sharein HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Take me to a place I've never known before, to a deeper place. Take me through the chamber door, beyond the realm I've known, things I've seen and heard, to a deeper my sovereign Lord.
Take me
to a deeper place than I've ever known before. To a deeper place, that's what my heart longs for.
Take me
to a deeper place before, to a deeper place
as I worship at your door.
Take me to a place never known before, to a deeper place.
Take me
to the chamber door. Seen and heard, to a deeper place with you, my sovereign Lord.
Take me to a deeper place than we've ever known before, to a deeper place, that's what my
longs for.
Take us to a deeper place than we've ever known before, to a deeper place.
take us to a place. Take us to your place, oh Lord. Take us to your place, oh Lord. Take us into your place. Take us to your place, oh. You are wise. You know us all too well. You are holy. You are wise. You to the place of where you are. Take us to your home.
Thank you, Lord. You. Hallelujah. He's here. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And if you're watching online and you'd like to join us, if you have some matzah, some crackers, if you have some grape juice or manischewitz, caramel, Mogan David, whatever you have, you're welcome to join us. So get yourself ready, and we're going to make our way to the Lord's table. And God bless you. Lord, put a holy sock in that dog's mouth.
Maybe he's worshiping.
He's worshiping. Dog's worshiping. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Aunt Maria, would you like to serve today? Okay. And, Diane, would you like to serve? Okay. Come on. Come on down. Here's the next one. The table of the Lord. Baruch Ataronai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Morei Pri Hagafen Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night he was betrayed, it was Passover. And they call it the Last Supper, but it was actually a Passover meal. And Yeshua told his disciples, when you see a man carrying a pitcher of water in Luke 22, go and say to the good man, where is the chamber where we may prepare the Passover? And they went and they found the chamber, and they prepared in the upper room. And during that Passover meal, Yeshua took the cup, the third cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Speaking of the cup taken after the meal, called the cup of redemption. And then he took the bread and he broke it, the three pieces on every table called we call it the unity, and he broke the middle layer, the afikomen, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so he was following the Passover to the letter of how Jews celebrate it, but he changed the meaning of it. And a lot of people teach that the New Testament or the New Covenant is the renewed covenant of Moses. There's a lot of teaching out there that the New Testament or the New Covenant is the renewed covenant of Moses, Yeshua came to renew the covenant. But that's not what the Bible says. If you read Jeremiah 31:31, it says, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, my covenant which they broke, but this is the covenant I will make with them in that day, and I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer will they say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me." Amen. So when Yeshua said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," Moses didn't have a covenant in his blood, did he? Nobody ever got saved believing in the birth, death, burial, crucifixion, and resurrection of Moses, did they? In fact, they don't even know where his body is because Satan fought with somebody about it. I can't remember who. It was in like the book of Jude or something. What's that? Michael and Satan fought over where Moses' body. And so it's up on somewhere in the mountains, Nebo, or over there in Jordan. Nobody knows where it is. He didn't rise from the dead. Okay?
Is it the transfiguration?
Oh, yeah, he did come back for the transfiguration. That's true. So we know he went to heaven. Amen? But we do know that nobody got saved believing in Moses. Amen? And God never said, "Believe in Moses." He told us to follow Moses. Obey Moses. Follow my commandments, he said. But believe in Yeshua. That's the new covenant. To believe, Yeshua said, "Whoever believes in me, and I will raise him up on the last day." John 6:40. Whoever believes in me, in the Son of Man, I will raise him up on the last day. John 6:40. And then the Lord said, maybe it was Paul that said this. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. Amen. People give me grief about sinner's prayers. And that's it. What's a sinner's prayer? Is to confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord. That's why I do sinner's prayers, because people get a chance to confess that he's Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with a sinner's prayer. And the new covenant is not the same as the old covenant. I'm preaching. Anyway, come receive the benefits of the new covenant. Receive his grace, his love, his healing, his forgiveness. If you know Yeshua, we invite you to come. If you receive forgiveness through his blood, come and receive his grace today at the table of grace, the Shulchan Adonai. Come when you're ready. And this is a good time to confess your sins to God. I always say, keep a short list. God bless you as you come. Amen.
Can love me the way you do. Here I am
stand in your presence. Every day I long for more of you. Every night I'm thinking of you. No one can love me the way you do. Here I am to stand in your presence, Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. You are faithful and true.
Shabbat Shalom. Good to see everybody. And we got a new shipment, as Don was saying. I just want to mention before I give my message, of Abba oils, of anointing oil. And we have small bottles, personal bottles that you can have in your purse if you want. You know, when I travel, I always anoint. When I go to a hotel or a motel, I anoint the bed, I anoint the windows, the door. I always consecrate the bed, remove anything unclean, and say, Lord, let no unclean thing come upon me in this room. I command any spirits to leave, and I anoint the doors, let no, you know, plead the blood on the doors and the windows. You know, I did it when I was staying with Wendell in North Carolina, and, you know, I kept him up till 3 o'clock in the morning. I was anointing the room, but in his bed, too. But it's just one example. But seriously, we have oils, and we have more over in the fellowship hall, and there's going to be lunch. I think we have a nice little lunch over there, some more potato latkes and soup afterwards, so please stay for lunch. And also, we have some ladies have requested, and Vicky told me to get this. I got we got about 3 or 4 bottles of the myrrh hand lotion that we ordered. we're going to have one in the bathroom for you downstairs, but we've got three or four bottles. People requested it, so I want you just to let you know they're in. People who were interested in the myrrh hand lotion. So just letting you know. Also, if you didn't get a copy of my newsletter, and I've been teaching on this, but I'm not going to teach on it today, Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And this was a revelation I believe the Lord gave me about the fulfillment of Hanukkah and Yeshua's fulfillment of Hanukkah, and how it involves the marriage supper and at the Millennial Temple, the wedding at the Millennial Temple, and why the Levitical priesthood has to be restored, because who's gonna prepare the marriage supper? The priests. The Levitical priests are gonna prepare the marriage supper for y'all. Amen. The priests are going to do it, and it's going to be the biggest cookout we've ever seen. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be one, and Yeshua is going to grade the land. If you look in Zechariah 14, he splits the mountain of the Lord and he spreads it apart. It's like he makes a big graded, he grades it, and he makes a big flat. You know, he just cuts the mountain in the middle and just spreads it apart. And I'm convinced, it doesn't say how the Ezekiel temple's built in the Bible. I mean, it doesn't tell us who builds it. It tells us who builds Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple, the first temple. It tells us who builds the second temple, Herod's temple. But it doesn't tell us who builds the millennial temple. Amen? It doesn't say who the builder is. But we know that he created all things, and through him all things were created. Amen? That he can just speak it into existence. He can just call, he can create it. Just like he created the world, he can create the temple. He just speak it and just call it forth. Amen? And it will be. I mean, if a new heavens and a new earth are going to come down, you know, is it difficult? Is it too difficult for him to create the temple? I don't think so. So anyway, if you haven't got this newsletter, it's out on the table. It's free, and get yourself one. all right. So Miss Dawn, you leaving? When's your flight?
3:10.
Okay. She's leaving on a jet plane. Love you.
Love you too.
Miss you.
Miss you.
Call you later. Okay. Let's give a round of applause for our Rebbetzin. She's like the Holy Spirit. She comes in like the wind and she leaves like it too. She rides on the wind too, yeah. Bye, honey. Love you. Amen. Well, are we on Facebook here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is it on?
You were live.
Oh, well, shalom, Facebook. Welcome, everybody. Today's message is your house in order? It's Lord's been, I shared a little bit with the ladies at prayer this week, and but God's laid this on my heart for a long, long time to give you this message. Is your house in order? And I've done several funerals in the last 10 years, and several times the message that the Lord gave me to share with people is your house in order? Do you have your house in order? Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, God forbid something were to happen to you. God forbid something were to happen to your spouse. God forbid, are you ready spiritually? Are you ready? You know, when I preach funerals, I'm more talking about spiritually ready. Is your house in order? So it has a double meaning. But I want to look at some scriptures, and let's turn to Lord, help me. 2 Kings 20. Thank you. 20 what? 2 Okay. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." See, Hezekiah had a terminal illness. He was going to die. And then he turned his face, Hezekiah did, to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And then Isaiah said, "Take a cake of figs," and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. All right. Now, then Hezekiah asked for a sign that the Lord will heal him, and this is what it says. "You go up to the house of the Lord on the third day." Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? So Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps, by which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. Amen. And God healed. He healed Hezekiah. Amen. He healed Hezekiah. But so you know, as a young man, I was challenged as a young man. When I was 23 years old, 24 years old, I had just started working. I got out of college, started working, and I didn't know the Lord. And I took a course on financial planning. And this guy was a financial planner, and I was very not trusting. I didn't know the guy. And he said what he told me when I was 23, and I had a good job back then. I was making $50,000 a year at 23 years old in 1989, okay? 50 grand in 1989 for a 23-year-old was good money, more money than most of my peers were making, amen? And like most kids who are 23, I was going through it like water. But this guy said, take 10%, at least 10%, or 5%, at least 5 to 10% of your money every month, and he said, put it in the stock market. That's what he said. Put it in the stock market. Put it in mutual funds, is what he was saying. Don't try to pick a stock. There was mutual funds that were the new thing. They weren't completely new, but they were getting very popular back in the late 80s. People were starting to invest in mutual funds. So why? What's a mutual fund? That's where, in those days, they would have like a stockbroker who really knew his stuff, he or she, and they would put a fund of stocks, you know, like 20 or 30 or 50 stocks together, and they'd create a fund, a mutual fund, and they'd buy, you know, 2% of one stock, 4% of another, and it would be made up of, the fund would be made up of certain stocks, and this fund guy person would direct it, okay? And some of them were very successful, like, and some of them weren't. You know, back in the late 80s, the Magellan Fund, Fidelity had the Magellan Fund, was very successful. And a guy named Peter Lynch, who's a very famous guy from Fidelity, and he ran the Magellan Fund for a long time, and he retired. And anyway, so I didn't listen. when I was 23. Now, if I had started putting 5% or 10% of my income at age 23 into the stock market, I'd be a millionaire today. It pretty much didn't matter what stocks I bought, okay? It pretty much didn't matter. If you just put it in a mutual fund, you know, in American equities, I mean, stuff like Exxon, I'm talking about just, you know, S&P 500, Dow Jones, industrials, 30 industrials, which is stuff like, you know, I don't know, Microsoft, Ford, you know, Exxon. Exxon's kind of fallen out of it, but you know, IBM, that was a Dow Jones industrial top 30 stock, you know what I'm saying? Back then, IBM. Today, it would be Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, whatever, Amazon. Those are, you know, Dow Jones 30 industrials kind of stocks. Oracle, you know, there's a lot of big, really high-tech companies and Caterpillar, you know, train companies like, what's the big train, the railroad company? What? N&W, Northwest, and there's another one, some other train companies. There's one with a C. CSX. Yeah, you know, freight, transport, those are all, you know, the things that make America run. Amen? And so if you invested in those things, I'm not a stockbroker, and this isn't just about money what I'm talking about, okay? But this is what the guy told me. I read something somewhere that if you had put $10,000 in Amazon in 1996, you'd be worth $10 million today. If you'd put $10,000 in Amazon and just let it sit there, in 1996, you'd have something like $10 million today. And if you just, I mean, that's all you had to do. Now, I didn't listen to the guy. I didn't put anything in the stock market in 1989. I didn't put anything in 1990, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. I didn't do anything, okay? And you know, God has taken care of me and my family. He's blessed me because the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you desire shall be added unto you. And who doesn't desire a house? Who doesn't desire what guy doesn't want a pickup truck or a nice car? You know, what guy doesn't want a beautiful wife? What woman doesn't want a husband and children and to get married or a partner? And these days, they may want a binary partner. I don't even know what that is. I heard it on TV last night. But God help us. You know, there's. I think there's only two sexes. I believe there are. I'm convinced there's male and female. You know, but I think they say there's like 126. That's the latest I heard. I read an article saying there was 126 different sexes. And I haven't quite figured that one out. I don't think I ever will, and I'm not going to go into it. But there's two sexes. And there's four kinds of people in the world. There's there's unbelieving Jews, there's believing Jews, there's unbelieving Gentiles, and there's believing Gentiles. That's it. There's four kinds of people in the world. Amen? All right. Okay, so is your house in order? Is your house in order? I didn't prepare. Old Joe Bell didn't get ready for retirement, okay? And then I got cancer in my 40s. Now I'm 53. I got cancer when I was about 44, 43, okay? Been fighting it right now. Fighting cancer for 10 years, going on 10 years that I'm fighting cancer, okay? And you know, there's one thing that happens, you know, nobody told me this, and I'm here to give you some wisdom that I've learned that hopefully will help you. Okay, when I was 33 years old, I didn't have much. I did invest. Don't get me wrong. God had me invest in real estate. So my first house, when I was 25, I bought a house in Boston. It was a duplex, and it was $100,000. And it was $100,000, and it was a two-family. It was in a nice neighborhood in Boston next to a big park. It was 5 minutes up the road from Dawn, who I didn't know yet. And I was about to meet her because I became messianic that year, and went within 1 year of owning the house. I got saved in the house, and I read the New Testament, and I received the Lord in my bed one night on Valentine's Day in 1996 in that house. I paid $100,000 for it. That house went on the market 3 months ago for $650,000. I sold it in 5 years for $200,000, 100% more than I paid for it. Okay? Actually, it was $195,000, but close enough. Then I tithed. I made a $95,000 profit in 5 years, and I tithed on that profit. I came here, and I said, I tried to buy a house. I tried to buy another duplex when I got here. With that, you know, when I sold that house, I tried to buy another one, and the bank wouldn't give me a loan. They wouldn't give me a loan. I wanted to buy the house right across the street from my in-laws. I was living with my in-laws, so you can't blame me for wanting to buy a house, right? We were living with my in-laws, and I was living on my savings. I had been a missionary for 2 years. I had $35,000 in the bank saved up. I was living on that $35,000, starting our ministry, started with the newsletter, and our first service, we had 70 people back in Living Waters Family Church in Abingdon, Virginia. It was Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, 1999. We had about 70, 75 people came out to our first service. We put it in the newspapers and advertised it. It was the first Rosh Hashanah Messianic service in the whole Mountain Empire, as far as to my knowledge. It was the first time anybody had ever done that. And we had doctors, and we had dentists, and we had all kinds of people come out. It was a great crowd with great time. We did a service every month up there in Living Waters, and that was Dawn's church where she, in her teenage years, she went to church there. And Pastor Ed and Pastor Kathy Bowers were her pastors, and they became my pastors, and they became my dear friends, and they're on our board of directors, and. So anyway, I came here, and then I sold my house in Boston because I couldn't manage it. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, I got to make a living. Lord said, invest. I heard one word from the Lord. He said, invest. I said, what do you want me to invest in? And so one day I was driving down the road, and I saw this apartment building, and I was about 33, 34 years old. I saw an apartment building on the side of the road, and it was big apartment building, good size. And so I inquired about it. Now, they remember that they wouldn't let me buy a house when I got my $95,000, remember, and I tithed on it. That hurt. I'm going to tell you, if you've never written a check for $10,000 or $9,500, it's painful, okay? And the truth is, I didn't want to give all that money to the church. So I decided on my own, I'll give $2,500 to a mission, Jews for Jesus, and I'll give $7,000 to the church. Okay? So then I get to church that day, and the pastor calls me up, not knowing what I have in my pocket, and he calls me up to pray over the offering. So I put that $7,000 check, and I'd sent the $2,500 off to the mission, and I picked up the plate, and I put my $7,000 check in it, and I said, Lord God, bless this offering 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. And I was proud of myself. And then all of a sudden, a voice spoke to me and said, that's really great, Joe. I'm going to give you 100-fold. Now, don't you wish you put $9,500 in that plate? Did y'all get that? I did it my way, and that's not, that was Frank Sinatra sang that song my way, and that wasn't God's way. God said, I said this before, bring the whole tithe into the house, into my house, so that there may be food in my house. Where is the Lord's house? You know, wherever God plants you, I'm not telling you, wherever God plants you and calls you to, that's where that's the house of the Lord. So whatever congregation, if it's your church, if it's your, wherever you attend regularly, some people may be visiting today, or, you know, I always tell people, bring your tithes to your home congregation. If you want to bless Israel, you know, and give, you know, to a messianic synagogue, like the Roman centurion in Luke 7 helped build the synagogue in Capernaum, that's fine. Nothing wrong with helping and giving an offering and supporting a ministry, but bring your tithe to your home congregation. Okay, so so I learned a lot about tithing, and God's given me, you know, some lessons. So I bought a 15 unit apartment house, and I was able to buy it, a $309,000 building with $3,000 down. Now you might ask, how can you do that? Okay, because they charge 20%. The bank would give me an 80% loan, and I had to come up with 20% of $309,000. What is that 20%? That's 10% is $30,900, and another 10% is that's $61,800, right? So I asked the owner of the apartments, I said, would you finance me 20% for 5 or 6 years at 6% interest? Would you carry that loan for me? He said, yeah, sure, I will. He was a rich guy. So he carried that extra 20%, and all I had to pay was $3,000 closing costs. If you invest, use other people's money. Okay? The best thing you can do when you invest, if you can, I'm not talking about stocks and bonds, but if you're buying property, is to get a bank loan, is to get somebody to loan you money. It's the best way, you know, I've been taught, you know, use your money and your wealth to get loans, okay? To get financing, okay? So I bought this apartment building, and we couldn't afford, we couldn't afford an office. We were so poor as a ministry. And our average weekly tithe back then was like $500-$600 a week. That's how small it was. And we couldn't afford an office. The office we wanted to rent was $350. Now, we didn't have a synagogue. We were in a church. We bounced from, three or four churches, okay? You ever been a part of a group that was meeting in different churches? You know, it's a pain in the butt. It's a royal pain in the butt. Because after a while, some of the folks, usually, somebody's going to call me a racist or a sexist or whatever, but the little old lady starts saying, you didn't put the vacuum cleaner back, and you left the... Oh, and then the guys, the men, I'll get the men too. The elders will say, you left the heat on, and you're spending too much electricity. And then the pastor will come and say, well, you got to go now, or we're going to raise the rent $800. And that happened to me one time. $800, he wanted to raise it in 1 month. And at that point, I had bought this business called the Man of Bagel Company, which I actually named it that, because God gave me the name. It was my dream to own a bagel shop. And so I always had a dream of owning a bagel shop. And one day, the same realtor who sold me the apartments, he was showing real estate up at the Holiday Inn. And he said, come up to the Holiday Inn. I'm going to be showing some property. And he was plying me with turkey sandwiches and stuff. And I'm sitting there eating his turkey sandwiches and potato chips and watching. And all of a sudden, this bagel shop comes up on the screen for sale. It was in downtown Bristol. Now, mind you, 20 years ago, downtown Bristol was a dump. Most buildings were empty, rat, pigeon infested, water and windows broken, roofs needed repair, leaking water everywhere, mold, mildew. You could pick up one of those massive buildings for $130,000. Today, you couldn't get one for under $1 million. Easy. You couldn't get one of those big buildings downtown Bristol for under $1 million. My, how things change. Amen? And so I bought this bagel shop, and this time I had to put $20,000 down. But you notice, I still had $70,000. You know, and God did let me keep a good portion, most of what I had, you know, from what I saved from selling my house, okay? So I invested, although I wasn't in the market, in the stock market, I was in, I had my investments in real estate and business. I owned a business. I didn't buy the business because I wanted it. I bought it because God told me to buy it. I remember I had this dream. I said, I always wanted to own a bagel shop. And since I was 18 years old, I said to my dad on Cape Cod, we had a summer home. My parents had a summer home on Cape Cod. And I said, Dad, let's open a bagel shop. See, up north, bagels are like biscuits. Bagels up in the north are like biscuits in the south, okay? And everybody up north eats bagels. You notice Dunkin' Donuts here, that's a Yankee bagel, that's a Yankee donut shop, okay? Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts is a Yankee bagel donut shop, and they serve bagels, okay? Because they come from the north, all right? And so they serve bagels down here, and they serve them all over the country, because they're not just northern now, they're all over the country, they're a huge company. So anyway, I always wanted to open a bagel shop. There was no bagel shop where we lived in the summer, and I love bagels. I said, Dad, why don't we open a bagel shop? I was 18. I was, you know, just like my son Isaac back there, 17. And my dad was 65 years old. You know, he was about 65. Yeah, he's about 65 years old. How many 65-year-old guys want to start a restaurant with their 18-year-old son? Raise your hand if you think a lot of them do. How many 65-year-old guys are about ready to sell everything they've got and move down to Palm Beach? Amen? Or Deerfield Beach or Boca or wherever, you know, West Palm. You know, they're ready to chill out, get the lounge chair out, and sit by the pool. That sound good, Wendell? Amen? So Dad wasn't interested in my bagel shop idea. But I never let go of it. And it took 18 more years. And then I'm sitting there at the Holiday Inn, and this bagel shop comes up for sale on the screen, and I'm in La La Land, because I've been telling everybody for 18 years I want to own a bagel shop. And all of a sudden the opportunity comes up, and I didn't see it. And my wife elbowed me. She goes, "Bagel shop!" I woke up from the melatonin, from the turkey sandwiches. I woke up and I said, oh yeah, I want a bagel shop. And so I approached the realtor, and we checked with the bank, and I had to write a business plan. I went to the Small Business Administration. I got a loan. I bought the Man of Bagel Company. It was some other company before that. We bought it. We named it Man of Bagel, based on the Keith Green song, I Want to Go Back to Egypt, where he talks about Man of Bagels and Man of Waffles and Man of Burgers and all that good stuff. And so I didn't even know when I got the name where it was coming from, but then I heard the song and I said, oh yeah, that's where I got it. You know, but it was a God thing, the Man of Bagel Company. And I met so many, I got so many, so much of the word out in the Salt Shakers, thousands of newsletters. Tens of thousands of newsletters out through the Salt Shakers. Do you know that when I started selling Messianic books and I started a little bookshop in our synagogue 20 years ago, I spent $250 on my first order of books. Do you know at one point in time we were selling $10,000 a year in Messianic books, CDs, jewelry, anointing oil, and so forth, shofars. $10,000 a year in Messianic stuff at the bagel shop. Can Can you believe that? That's a lot. That's a lot of messianic books. We got the word out. We were getting the word out, and we were playing messianic and Christian music on the sound system. We were playing godly music, and people loved it. Some people didn't like it, but most people loved it, and they loved the atmosphere because it was clean. Amen? It's one of the only clean places you could go and hear the word of God coming through the speakers. But if you didn't want to read a newsletter and you just wanted to eat a bagel or have a cup of soup, you could have it without being preached at. Amen? You know, you didn't have to be preached at. So, like I said, I was working for God, trying to build a ministry, and God kept giving me ideas on how I couldn't afford an office, but I bought an apartment building, and I had some guys back then who were contractors, and they tore down a wall in two apartments. They tore down the wall, and they built us a 6-room office, and the tenants paid the rent. And so we were still meeting in churches. Then I bought the bagel shop, and I bought the building because, you know, it was cheaper to buy the building than rent. The rent was going to be $1,500 a month, and the mortgage on the bagel shop was $900 a month. You do the math. So we bought the building. So then when I got kicked out of that church for raising the rent, $800 a month, remember, we went back to the bagel shop. The Lord said to me, you own a building, use it. So I said, meet in the bagel shop? Yeah. So we started having meetings every week in the bagel shop from 2003 to 2012, almost 10 years we met in the bagel shop. Amen? And Mary Brady gave me the confirmation. We were having a Passover, if anybody remembers Mary Brady. And she was sitting in the middle of the room. Everybody's cleaning up for the Passover. And Mary Brady was sitting in the middle of the room in the bagel shop. And she says, Brother Joe, hallelujah. Lord just told me we're supposed to meet here. she's shouting and screaming and confirmed the word that I got that we're supposed to meet in the bagel shop. So we did. Anyway, the point is, I came here with almost nothing. I came here, there was no ministry. I didn't have a ministry. I had just, God created it from nothing. Came with nothing but the shirt on my back and a little money in the bank that I lived on for a year. I lived with my in-laws. Today I own, you know, a nice house. I have 3 cars. You know, my kids don't suffer. I mean, they don't lack. They've never. Are you starving, boys? Isaac's starving. Have you ever missed a meal because we wouldn't feed you? Huh? No. Amen. We've always had food on the table. Amen. So God's taking care of us. Amen. Is your house in order? Is your house in order? Thank you, sir. All right. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Will you be leaving an inheritance for your children's children? Now, there's 2 ways to look at that. One is financially. Another is spiritually. There's a scripture in Isaiah. Somebody could look it up for me. It says, this word that I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, for your children's mouth or your children's children's mouth, from this time forth and forevermore. If somebody could look up that verse, I'd appreciate it. It's in Isaiah. This word that I've given you or that I put in your mouth shall not depart from your children's mouth or their children's mouth from this time forth and forevermore. So to give one inheritance that we need to give our grandchildren and our children is spiritual inheritance. Amen? It's important that we give a spiritual inheritance to our offspring, and we leave them with a good foundation. You can't make your kids believe. You can't make your kids follow the Lord. But all you can do is show them, live a decent life, and share the gospel with them. Pray for them. That's a big thing. Yeah. Pray for them. And it says, train your kids up in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen? That's how you leave an inheritance for your children. And pray for them. If you're not having success with your kids, just go to praying. Don't. What's the scripture, brother? Isaiah 59:21. If you're not having, thank you. Matthew, if you're not having success raising your kids and seeing them fruit, don't fret about it. They've heard the word. They've been to church. They've heard the gospel. Just pray. A praying mama or a praying grandma is a powerful thing. Jensen Franklin said when he was a kid, he could never get away with mischief. I heard him say it. Jensen Franklin said on national TV, he said, when I was a kid and I tried to get into trouble and do bad things, I always got caught because my grandmother was praying for me. And so the one thing you can do for your kids, if you don't, you know, you can pray for them, okay? And if you can leave them something, it says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's a good thing to do that, okay? Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. You need to claim that for your kids and your grandkids. You need to claim that. Speak that over and believe that this, the Lord has a covenant with you in Yeshua, that the Spirit, His Spirit which is upon you and the words which He's put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from your children or your children's children, from this time forth and forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you have to believe that. That the word, and I've had a lot of kids come through these doors, and they weren't all the best behaved. I had one kid steal from us, you know, years ago, steal from the offering. I don't know why a 12 or 13 year old was taking the offering back to the office, but you know what it was? They would bring the offering back to my office at the bagel shop, and they would leave the plate up on a shelf or something, and that was the kids' room. And the kids would go in there, and so one kid, at least one, decided to help themselves to the offering. And she got caught, and, you know, we forgave her, you know. I've forgiven everybody. But anyway, so you got to be careful. Here's another word of wisdom. Don't leave the offering in the kids' room. Especially in cash. Okay. Proverbs 6:6-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. I didn't call you that. God did. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Okay. Consider the ant. God wants us to be like ants. He wants us to be ready at all times, because you never know. 1,000 Christians were killed in Africa last week. 1,000 people were killed. You never know when trouble's coming. We never know. In this country, we don't think it can happen. But we've forgotten the Alamo and we've forgotten Pearl Harbor. You know, we don't think it can come, that trouble can come here in the United States. We're in the middle of the country here. You know, we don't think it can come, but it can. It can come quickly. And in fact, here in Virginia, they're planning in January to start taking people's guns away. Okay? That's trouble in River City. That's what Hitler did. In order to control the people, Hitler took people's guns away. And then he went and took the people away. And then the people disappeared. Okay? We all know what happened. They went to the ovens and the gas chambers. They were shot in the back. All kinds of nasty stuff, right? So when a government starts taking away the people's firearms and weapons, you know trouble's around the corner. And that's coming in the state of Virginia if they pass the laws. There's two laws coming in possibly in January. It's going to be some of the toughest gun laws in the country. Well, they're trying to, those folks who want to do that, and if you don't know which party I'm talking about, then you need to open your eyes. It's not to be a political message, but if you don't know which party I'm talking about, they want to control you. They want to control what you eat. They want to control your. Well, they want to take away your gasoline. They want to take. They want you to drive $40,000 and $60,000 electric cars, which, by the way, takes fossil fuel to make the electricity. They want to do away with gasoline and get rid of that. They want to control the food you eat. They want to control what your kids' education is, what your kids learn in school. Amen. They want to control the schools. They want to control your health care or lack of it. They want to take away your health care, essentially. But meanwhile, they get the best health care in the world. Amen. They have the best health plan in Congress, but they want to take away yours. And so, you know, Obamacare and so forth. I saw people, they said they're promising health care for the poor. Yeah, all my employees at the bagel shop who are making $8 an hour, some people say, well, yeah, you should have been paying them $15 an hour. I'd have gone out of business. Even Bernie Sanders, he couldn't pay. His staff demanded $15 an hour. He couldn't afford to pay him, or he wouldn't pay him $15 an hour. But yet he wants you to pay your staff, your people, $15 an hour. Well, if you run a bagel shop and you pay your staff $15 an hour, you won't be in business very long, I assure you. McDonald's is getting ready to make hamburgers with automated equipment like they make cars now. They have these like robots. McDonald's is getting ready. They really are. They're preparing to make food and stuff with robots, and because they know $15 an hour minimum wage is coming to the country sooner than later, probably right after Donald Trump. You know, as soon as he's gone, and you know, I saw a picture. It said of Donald Trump, and it said, "It's not me they're after. I'm just standing in the way. It's you they're going for." And once he's gone, and he won't be with us forever, they're going to be coming for you. And they're going to, you know, people think, oh, great, I can make $15 an hour. Yeah, for about 2 months. And then the business goes out of business and you don't have a job. That's not good. You know, the government shouldn't control wages. The market should control wages. That's how it's always been, you know. And it's just, I could go on and on about what they want to control, how they want to control you. But I think many of them have even admitted they want to do away with you. They've even said they want to kill you. They want to kill you. If you're a Bible believer, if you carry a Bible, if you believe in Second Amendment, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe you support Donald Trump, you're an enemy of their state. You're an enemy of their state, and they'd like nothing better than to get rid of you. You're just wasting water and precious resources, in their opinion. You're wasting breath, oxygen. They have no use. They have little use for you. I guarantee you, it's going to be pretty ugly. Things are going to get real ugly in 5 years. All right, the poor you will always have with you. Okay, yeah. Listen, some of us have lived you've lived your lives. You were like me. You didn't save. You didn't prepare for retirement. You didn't think about it. And then all of a sudden, one day you woke up, and you were on Social Security, and you didn't have any retirement savings, and you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck. Amen. You know, I'm preaching it, right? And I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to the people watching here. And your life, I didn't anticipate cancer at 44. People just don't think about these things, getting ready for the future, getting ready for old age. Nobody thinks that when they're 42, that they're going to get old. But 52 comes fast, and then 62, and then 72. It comes real fast. And if you don't prepare, nobody's going to do it for you. Okay? If you don't prepare, nobody's going to, unless you've got a rich mama or daddy who's going to leave you a nice inheritance, or you win the lottery, you hit something, nobody's gonna. It doesn't come for free. Okay, it doesn't just drop out of the sky. Deuteronomy 8 tells us God gives us the power to make, power to make wealth. Remember the Lord your God, it says. For it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Yes, he gives you the power to get wealth. But you have to exercise that power. You have biceps. I have biceps. I used to have 6-pack abs. Now I have 2-pack abs. One on this side and one on this side. And I have a couple down here. Okay, so I have 4-pack abs. But when I was 18, I could do 100 sit-ups on a slant board, on those boards that you'd lift up and hook them on to the metal rod, and I could tilt that board up about this high, and I could do 100 sit-ups. When I was 18, I was a force of nature to be reckoned with. I was a strong, big guy. I could run up mountains when I was 18 years old. And I could ski pretty fast, too. And I skied. I grew up skiing. My son went skiing last night. He never saw me when I was able to ski before I got sick. I regret that. I wish that I could ski with him, I wish that I could go, down those slopes like I used to. Amen. That would have been fun. But we had kids when we were older, and it didn't work out that way. My dad never skied with me. My dad didn't do a lot of things with me. He didn't play ball with me. He didn't play baseball. He didn't play football with me. My dad had me when he was 40 years old. He was 48 years old when he had me. So he mostly slept in his chair while I went out in the backyard, picked up a baseball, hit about 10 balls to the back side of the yard, then turned around and hit them back the other way. Thank God I didn't go through my mother's window. All right, so store up your provisions. Even if you're not rich, doesn't mean you can't plan like the ant for winter. Store your provisions in summer and gather your food at harvest. Plan. My wife puts away $50 a month for Hanukkah. It's called a Christmas fund in the bank, but she puts back $50 a month for the holidays. We celebrate Hanukkah. So she gets a check for $600 every November because she saved $600 to buy. This year they had a 2-for-1, $699. At Verizon, they had 2 iPhone 11s. So the boys needed new phones. So we got them iPhones for Hanukkah. Amen? And Isaac got something even better. He got a car. So that was his first Hanukkah gift. They've been making out pretty good this year. Right? All right, guys? Not too shabby. Joshua gets to glean from his brother's goodies. But one day you'll get your own goodies. Your day's coming. Okay? So, you may be poor, but you can put back something. You can always put back some oatmeal. You can always put back, if you don't have, you know, one of the things that some people I've dealt with get into trouble is with paying their electric bills. We get a lot of people coming to us asking for help in the winter for electric bills and energy bills because they don't save for it. They don't prepare for the winter time. You need to prepare for that. You need to put back money in the warm weather, which comes in April or May, and start putting back money for the winter and start thinking about that. And if that means sacrificing something that you like, whether it's eating out or something, so that you'll have, you know, money to pay your electric bill or your heating bill or whatever in the winter, then you need to start giving up something so that you'll save the money for the rest of the year. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's called getting ready and planning. And Psalm 37:25, I once was young and now I'm old, yet never have I seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging bread. I once was old, King David said, and I once was young, but now I'm old, yet never have I seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging bread. If you're truly living for God, you will never be abandoned. God will always provide for you and take care of you. But, it's important, as I said earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can be call yourself. I hear people all the time tell me, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. And I know people through the years, you know, they live with people and they say they're Christians, but they're living in sin. You know, they have children in sin. I know so many single mothers and they call themselves Christians, but yet they have babies with guys that aren't married to, and then the guy takes off, leaves the mother with the baby. And if you don't, God isn't mocked. He's not a fool. He sees. And if you're going to proclaim God, then let your life shine. Let your light shine. Amen? If you're going to proclaim Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, if you're going to proclaim him to the world, then live for him. Amen. Don't be a hypocrite. Amen? Don't be a hypocrite and live like the world and be a fool and then go out and preach the cross. Amen? If you're going to live for him, walk the talk and talk the walk. Walk the talk and talk the walk. Amen? Why do so many people not prepare for the end of life? Why do so many people forget to do that? Just not do it at all. Don't put back 5%. You know, don't put back anything for the future. There's a spirit in this, in these Nar Hills. There's a spirit out here that people are not taught. I'm going to tell you, it's not even a spirit as much as it is. You know, I know somebody who grew up in Damascus and Conorock. Actually, they grew up in Conorock, and going to Damascus was like going to the big city. 50 years ago, okay? They didn't go to college, so they had no thought that their children should go to college, okay? And their kids didn't go to college. They became laborers, worked in factories, truck driver. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because they didn't go to college, so they didn't think their kids should go to college. My father-in-law was the first kid in his family to go to college. Out of 9 children, he was the first one, my wife's father, and not only did he go to college, he became a PhD. He broke the mold from farmer and eating pig's bread. Anybody know what pig's bread is? That's when they used to go down to Kern's Bakery or one of those bread shops, get the stale bread and pastries, and the pig's bread was so stale, it was like a sack of just hamburger buns and white bread and whatever, and it was so foul that they fed it to the pigs. And you could get a big sack of pig bread for like a buck. And families lived on that stuff. I know more than one family, including my wife's, her parents and their siblings, all 9 children, were raised on pig's bread. My goodness. My goodness. Is your house in order? Are your affairs in order? Do you know? Do you have a will? Do you plan? Do you have a plan for the end, your end of life? Do you wish to leave an inheritance to your children or to your wife or to your husband? Do you have a desire to leave something? Do you own something that you'd like to leave to them? Well, I think I surprised some people the other night when I said, if you leave a house to your children, they're going to be taxed to the max. They're going to be taxed property tax and estate tax, and they're going to, a lot of kids can't even afford to pay the taxes when parents leave them property. So you know what my mom did? She sold all her property, she owned a bunch, and she put it in trusts, the money in trusts. And you know what? Inheritance that's in a trust, up to $11 million in most states, is tax-free. Pretty cool, huh? Inheritance up to $11 million, that's in a trust, can be stocks, can be bonds, can be mutual funds, cash. There's no inheritance tax. It's not income. But if you leave your kids your house or the farm, they're going to have to pay property tax and estate tax if you don't have a trust or a will. And then it'll go to court, and the judge will appoint some trustee that you don't know, some disinterested party, and you hope that that trustee who has power over your property will give that property to the people that you want them to. If you don't prepare like the ant, and you don't have a will and a trust, if you have property that you want to leave to your kids or your grandchildren, you had better go see a lawyer and get ready and make preparations to do that. Now, another scenario that I've seen all too many times is people who own their house rich and cash poor, and they end up getting sick, and they end up going to where they need nursing care. First, they end up in the hospital. Then they end up in some kind of nursing facility. And then the government won't pay it, so they got to pay it. So they got to sell their house, and they go through all their savings, sell their house. And then once you sell your house, then Medicare and Medicaid will pay for the nursing home. But I guarantee it's not the Cadillac nursing home. You know, it's the low-budget nursing home. The state's not going to send you to the fancy place. Amen? You having fun? Are you learning something? You want me to stop? Or you don't sound like you're too interested. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, get your house in order. Put your affairs in order, king. You're going to die. He wasn't just telling him to get his spiritual house in order. He was telling him to get his affairs in order. Get your state. Get your inheritance. Choose your heir. Choose your successor. Do you understand? You know, and plan for these things. Don't just think that by cruising through life and you die, it's all just going to go to your kids or your grandkids. And it don't work that way. You've got to prepare. You've got to go to a lawyer, an estate lawyer, and you've got to spend a little cash and spend a little time and think a little bit. Also, there's a medical power of attorney. If you get sick and you can't make a decision for yourself and you become unable to care for yourself, or you lose your mind and you're in the hospital, do you have someone, does someone that you trust have medical power of attorney to make decisions, medical decisions for you Every one of you should have that. Everyone listening should have that. And I'm not just speaking to the people in this room. I'm speaking to the people watching on Facebook or live stream. We all need to have medical power of attorney. Someone or two people, a backup. And for your estate, if you own property and a business, you need, you know I bought $100,000. Remember I told you I sold my house at 33 or 34 for $195,000? So I had $95,000 in the bank, roughly 100, okay? So a life insurance guy came knocking on my door, and he wanted to sell me life insurance. So I guess he asked me when I was 34. It's been almost 20 years now. He asked me how much I was worth. I said, well, about 100 grand. So you know what he sold me? $100,000 of life insurance. Okay? But then what happens is people forget as they get a house, as their wealth grows, as their savings grow, they forget to get more insurance. Do you know if you're worth $300,000, are you insured for $300,000? Hello? If you're worth $400,000, are you insured liability for $400,000? Do you know that if the mailman came to your house or mailwoman and slipped on your front steps and cracked their head open and sued you and had brain damage and sued you for $500,000 and you were worth $350,000, it would put you in the poorhouse? Are you insured for your liability? Do you have a policy that covers your net worth? I just learned that last week, 2 weeks ago. I insured myself. I realized my net worth had increased since I was 33, 34. Because of my investments, my net personal net worth had increased. And so I realized 2 weeks ago that I had an epiphany. I wasn't insured to protect what I'm worth. How stupid is that? I get in a car accident. I'm driving at night. I don't see as well. Somebody's crossing the road. I hit them. God forbid. A biker. You know, you hit a biker. You're the one at fault. Doesn't matter if he was doing the wrong thing. The biker always has the right of way. Pedestrian always has the right of way. Amen? So you wreck somebody and you hit them and you hurt them and they break their neck, they smash their face on the windshield, they get shot through the windshield or go out the side window, end up with their head crushed, needing 150 stitches and hanging in a tree. They're going to come after everything you have. Are you insured? Do you have liability insurance for your car? If you know, I had until about a week ago, I had $100,000 insurance liability for a car accident. You know what $100,000 will get you in a serious car accident these days? A trip to the poorhouse. They'll take that $100,000 if you're at fault and you hurt somebody in a car accident or, you know, whatever. Or they slip and fall on your walk. People around here, they don't even shovel their walks. Make it for two, honey. See if she has a sister. That's what my dad used to say. Seriously, people around here, they don't salt their walkways. If the mailman slips and falls on your walkway and breaks their neck, they're going to be coming for everything you've got. Do you understand that? Is your house in order? Are you insured for what you have? Do you have a plan for what you're going to leave your family? This is a Hanukkah message, by the way. What did they do with the house of the Lord in Hanukkah? They got the house in order. Yes. Amen. This, I don't know, he didn't tell you this at the beginning, but this is a Hanukkah message. This is about getting your temple ready. It's about getting your temple, your house, both physically. I guess I could talk about health and taking care of yourself. Yeah. Now, I ate salads. Talk about health for a second. I ate salads. I took vitamins. I lifted weights. I climbed mountains. I ate tons of... My mother... Was grandma a good cook, guys? Was she one of the best cooks you ever tasted? Amen. Was I blessed to have her as a cook growing up? Say a little louder. Yeah. That was the loud... Yes. My mother was a darn good cook. And my grandfather worked on the fish docks in Boston, brought us the freshest New England fish, seafood, that you could get. Freshest, right out of the water, from ocean, right off the boats to our dinner table that night. I mean, I'm telling you, freshest seafood you could ever eat. You can't get it here. I mean, you have to go to the J. Frank to get that kind of food. You have to spend $100 to get that kind of fresh seafood. Stuff to get. The salmon you get in most restaurants here is frozen, farm-raised catfish, farm-raised salmon. It's all just tilapia. I wouldn't even eat tilapia. Most of it comes from China. Anything that says whitefish, you go to these seafood places and they say whitefish, don't eat it. It comes from China, and it's not good for you. It's not healthy. They call it whitefish for a reason. They don't want to tell you what the name of the fish is. And it ain't whitefish. There is an actual fish called whitefish. That's not what it is. But you can take care of your health all you want, but you can't control your genes. Amen? You can work on your health and exercise. I've always exercised. Ask my wife. I've always exercised. I've always eaten well, although I did have a sweet tooth. I probably ate too much, if anything. My biggest sin was I ate too much. I wasn't a big drinker, and didn't do drugs. Basically, was live clean living, liked good food, ate turkey sandwiches for lunch and salads, and you know, ate pretty healthy. I got cancer. You just never know. You never know when something's going to hit you. So while you're healthy, get insurance, get life insurance. Do you have life insurance? Do you have a loved one? Do you have a spouse or someone you want to leave? Life insurance is a great tool. If you want to leave your kids something and you don't have anything, you don't have money put away, you don't have stocks and bonds, you don't have a 401k, but you want to leave your kids something, buy life insurance. Do you know that Jerry Falwell, you know what he did a year before he died? He spent $2 million buying $27 million of life insurance. Okay? And he had a heart attack, but he convinced some insurance company for a $2 million year policy. He convinced this insurance company. They gave him $27 million of insurance. He died in a year. They paid $27 million. It paid off all the debt of the Liberty, of the college, Liberty University, all the debt of the university, and he paid off the debt of the church. What's that church there? Up there, Liberty? It's got a name of it. It's not Liberty, but the Baptist church that they have up there. He paid the debt for the whole thing. What a genius. And if you're healthy, you're still healthy, and you have some extra money and you can buy life insurance, then you can leave something to your kids, even if you don't have a 401k or a pension, if you don't have something put away or a house to leave your kids, or whoever, your wife, your husband, you can, if you're healthy, you can buy life insurance. I can. It's hard to buy it with cancer. Don't wait till it's too late. Life insurance?
Yeah,
I guess so. If you say so, inheritance is, a proper inheritance. There's no inheritance tax. There is a big tax of property. If you try to leave a house to your kids, they're going to pay thousands in taxes. Thousands. Estate tax, property tax, you know. But, yeah, insurance, I don't think, there's no tax. You know why? I bought a $50,000 cancer policy before I got cancer. 4 years before I got cancer, I bought a cancer policy. As soon as I got cancer, I sent in proof to the company. They sent me a check for $50,000. If you have a tendency to have cancer in your family, and people have, cancer in your, if it runs in your family, get a cancer policy. Protect yourself. Cancer's expensive. Amen. Is your house in order? Are you, if you died tomorrow and you want, and you have something you want to leave to your kids, is it going to have to go to court? Is the judge going to, is it going to take a year for your kids? Or maybe you don't have anyone to leave your estate to, and you'd like to leave it to the, to your synagogue. A lot of ministries are out there telling people, you know, they're sending you letters, you know, saying, think about giving, you know, when you leave this world, think about leaving your estate to the ministry. I've never said such a thing, but it's not a bad thought. Leave it to the house of the Lord. Leave your estate. If you don't have somebody that you want to leave it to, you know, leave it to the house of the Lord. It's not a bad thing. And that's tax-free. I'm not a financial planner, and I'm not an insurance specialist, and I'm not telling you exactly what, I don't know your situation. I'm not giving you advice that, like, telling you what to do. I'm telling you things I've learned and things that I've God has shown me and experience, okay? But if you're young, and I see one young man in here, I see a couple of young men. Take care when you're when you can do it, get yourself life insurance, and if you can start saving something, if it's whatever, pray to God, God help me to invest, and He'll show you where to invest so that you can prepare for the future, and He'll show you what to do. Amen? But do it while you're young, do it while you're healthy, and while you're young, even if you're old and you have some savings and you have a house, go see a lawyer. If you're planning to leave it to your kids and you think you're just going to leave a house to your kids, you're fooling yourself. The taxes are going to be sky high, and they may not want to pay them. They may say no thanks. Can be that bad. That's how bad it can be. So go see a lawyer. Take care of things properly. Amen? Get your house in order. Isaiah said it to the king. I'm saying it to you. I think God would want you to do it. Amen? This wasn't a highfalutin prophetic message, but this is a practical, down-to-earth message. I hope it helps you. I hope it gets you thinking. And by the way, I predicted in this newsletter and in this teaching on the last president of the United States that 9 months before Donald Trump was elected, I predicted that the stock market, I predicted that he would be elected, and that when he was elected, that the economy would skyrocket. Stock market went up 40% that year. I didn't listen. I didn't invest in my own advice, which is in this newsletter, which I also predicted he would destroy ISIS. He'd defeat ISIS. I predicted that he would defeat Iran and destroy their nuclear weapons, which is coming. I predicted in these tapes, CDs, that he would deal with North Korea too, which he will. We're not done with them. They promised us a Christmas present. Hasn't happened yet. Pearl Harbor. Remember Pearl Harbor. Don't be like me. And I knew the economy was going to take off when Donald Trump became president. You know, there's $100 million in building projects going on in Bristol right now. $100 million in building projects, mostly hotels and apartments being built and shopping centers. But there's an $8 million housing development going on. It's booming. What are you doing? What are you doing? And is your house in order? Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace. I just want to say one last thing. We have food to go down, but I want to say one last thing. If you've messed up, 1 John, I think it's 4, 1 John 1, 9 or something, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. If you've blown it, guys, you can just repent to the Lord. And you can repent right here. You can come to the altar and repent right now and say, Lord, I've blown it. I haven't considered the ant. I haven't gotten my house in order. I haven't saved for a rainy day. I haven't taken care of... my house is not in order. And I want to repent. Because if you repent, God can restore everything that you've lost and everything that you've blown through. So I want to open the altar. You can come and pray, and we'll just turn some music on. You can just confess to God yourself. Amen. Warren Buffett. Yeah. Yeah. But if you need to repent for blowing it, then that you won't get out of your hole if you don't repent.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the first step.
That's the first step. Yeah. Yeah.